back with the Beer Opinions Podcast, where we talk all things beer. This is our beer bar segment where we have the indomitable Jay Jankowski from the Map Room. Indomitable. Look it up, Jay. Look it up.
What's up, people?
This being episode one, we are learning as we go. Next time, we will not set up near the hand dryers of Patty Long's. So if you hear any hand drying, it's people being hygienic. Okay, so let's all deal with it. We've been covering beer bars and what they mean and what sets them apart from other bars. I figured since we have Jay here, and Jay is a longstanding member of the Chicago craft beer community, let's talk a little bit about, and we touched a little bit on the history of craft beer in Chicago in the last 20 years, but let's delve into it, because you started the Map Room in what year?
What was it, 94? I think it was 94. And that was before I was here. I didn't get here in the city till 99, so...
Yeah, so you started in the Map Room in 99?
Yep.
I remember when you were the new guy at the Map Room.
Me too.
And Brandon, who is now your business partner, did not like you.
He didn't, no. He got hired right after I did, and he did not like me. And then, you know, all fairness, I was an immature little shit. And I was probably drinking too much there. And, you know, I was just excited.
At least one of those things has changed.
I'm in the, you know, I'm in this big new city, and that's a great city. And I happened to move down the street from a fantastic bar, and I was lucky enough to get offered a job there, which got me out of waiting tables at John Barleycorn, which was a nice thing to get out of.
I was a regular there, as you know. I think you claim, I don't remember this, but you claim that I threatened to punch your lights out.
This is a true story. It was after Whiskey Fest.
Oh, well, that's why I don't remember.
Yeah.
That explains it.
Yep, we both went back to the Map Room after Whiskey Fest, and you were standing at the bar, and I was kind of standing next to you, and I was just gazing into your eyes, and you weren't looking at me, but I was gazing into your eyes.
I was looking through you.
And you said, "Jay, if you don't stop staring at me, I'm going to knock you the fuck out."
I stand by that statement, by the way. I don't remember it, but I stand by it.
And I don't know, you know, I wasn't as portly as I am now, but Pat's a big guy, and quite frankly, the idea of his right hand coming at my head is just not ideal. So I walked away. We talked about it a couple days later, and you said you didn't remember. I said, so we're cool. And, yep, we're cool.
And we've been cool ever since, haven't we?
Yep.
So let's talk about the 90s in Chicago, because I worked at a couple of brew pubs, three of them, none of which are still in business. It was a tough time in Chicago, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And I think all over the states, like mid-90s, a lot of brew pubs popped up. They're mostly all gone. We're going to see it again, I think.
Yeah. Well, and from what we've talked about this, and from what I've read as well, I think even Bob Skilnett wrote about this as well. Yeah. It's like that in the 90s, the kind of investment bankers, the banking class, got their hands on craft beer when it was kind of that last kind of jump up, and they were brewing for money and not for love. Was that... Oh
my God. Do we ever learn from history? Do you think history might be repeating itself? Holy shit, but you're right. And and the beer was not very good. You know, at the places I worked, it was good, I thought. It still didn't matter. Nobody, you know, Old Style was the number one beer in this city, and it's a very working-class city, always has been, and nobody drinks with their pinky out, and everyone thought craft beer was just some, you know, fancy shit, and they didn't want anything to do with it. And the beer and craft beer wasn't very good. And I always say when, you know, 2006, 2007, 2008, when the breweries started popping up again, they were good, you know, they were good. And I think the foundation had been built. It wasn't, although it was still some homebrewers, you know, opening up breweries and whatnot, but more than that, it was guys who worked at Goose Island opening up breweries and guys who worked at Sierra Nevada going and, you know, working at Peace and, you know, guys from, you know, who had actual brewing experience were opening breweries, and the beer was just 1,000 times better than it was in the late 90s.
I'd like to take a minute and thank Goose Island for producing some of the best brewers on the planet.
Right? I mean,
that was just a...
We could sit here for 20 minutes naming brewmasters at different breweries that started out at Goose Island, right?
Yep, we could, easily.
I always say, if I ever open a brewery in Chicago or anywhere, I will do what 100 people before me have done. I'll steal a brewer from Goose Island, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's the training ground. It is. And thankfully, now we have a couple of training grounds, you know? But that was the place, you know? If you were a brewer, you could almost always get a job there. And they made an insane amount of beer, and you learned how to do it. You learned, and they, you know, you learned how to replicate a recipe. You learned how to operate the machinery. You learned how not to make, you know, off flavors. And they had Matt Brindelson at the head in the 90s, and, you know, that guy's a genius now at Firestone Walker, kicking ass.
If you're listening to this and you don't know who Matt Brindelson is, do some research, because...
You're probably not listening to this if you don't know who Matt Brindelson
probably
is. This
not.
Is a fucking beer podcast. Right?
It's true.
So, you know, I can tell you my experience in the 90s where it was constant pushback from the customer, right? It was constant, well, I drink Miller Lite, what do you have, you know? And it was very hard to make converts. And now, you know, you still get those people, I like Miller Lite, what do you have? But they're open to it. You know, I don't know, there's just, things have just busted open.
Do you think now that it's almost, and I, this is just something that's after my getting on another beer that popped in my head, so we'll see, but that it's almost a reverse problem where people are like, what's the next hot thing? Like almost the, instead of it being like, you know, the older beers maybe less interesting, now it's like, well, what's cutting edge and ignoring some quality stuff? Has that kind of come up at all?
Pineapple IPA.
Yeah.
I have one on right now. Never thought I'd say that.
Right.
And it's not for my love of it. People are asking for it. So.
I mean, yes, I think new and shiny is the go-to for a lot of people. And it's unfortunate because, you know, the classics are struggling to get a foothold in craft beer bars. Which brings us back to, you know, the tap list at a craft beer bar. You're not going to find Sierra Nevada Pale Ale at a lot of craft beer bars, even though that's in my top three beers in the world. Now, I have 200 top three beers, but Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is the one that did it for me. And, you know, I carry it in a can here. I don't think we carry it all at Kaiser because simply no one's ordering it. And, you know, I think a lot of the big original craft brewers are having that issue. They are, people don't want to come into my bar and order a beer that they can get down the street at 7-Eleven. They want something they've never seen before, never had before, and it's all about new tastes and new flavors. And craft beer aficionados are the least brand loyal group in the world, and it's, you know, I think it's driving a lot of people, you know, higher ups at distributors and whatnot. It's driving them crazy. They don't know how to figure it out. Do you get that, Jay?
I do, and you know, even just from talking to reps, you know, a lot of them are coming, you know, from out west or out east or whatever. And they're trying to make a stand in an already flooded market here in Chicago with a lot of local breweries now. And very hard for them to get, you know, in the door is one thing, but actually to get a handle somewhere is extremely difficult. I'm guilty. I rotate the shit out of my beer. You know, if I have a keg on for more than one, it's not very common, you know, outside of a few staples that we have. So with that, it's harder for the reps job to, well, all right, cool, I got a beer in, but now how do I get it, keep it in, or, you know, what do I have to do next to get it something else in? I don't know. It's very crowded.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, for a little while, I was Chicago's worst bartender, and I remember talking to a rep who came in who was selling, it was for spirits, for vodka. And so they were like, well, we got this new bubblegum vodka. You know, you guys got to get this bubblegum vodka. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, right. It's like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, listen, man, we got to come out with new flavors of vodka every, like, 6 months, because we come out, we get it in the bars, the sales spike. And then after 3 months, they spike back down. And so then we have to get another flavor in. And my concern is that craft beer, listen, having new and exciting beers and flavors is good to an extent. But my hope is that it doesn't turn into that being the game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it is the game right now. I mean, you're seeing it from every brewer. And you're seeing a lot of the old brands disappear. You know, they're just kind of giving up on them and revamping them or just getting rid of them altogether. I want to get back to your, you know, what you were talking about with some out-of-state brewers coming in and having trouble. It is, I mean, I say no 100 times a week and say yes 5 times, 6 times a week. I mean, it has to be maddening as a salesperson to try to get a handle, to try to get a shelf space, to try to get anything. And it's, I mean, do you think the days of opening production breweries are numbered? What do you think, Jay? I mean, would you open a production brewery right now in Chicago?
No, I wouldn't. I'd open a brew pub, but then I'd have to deal with the kitchen, which, if you know me, that's not in my interests at all. Running a bar is hard enough, not dealing with the kitchen staff, but I don't know.
Oh, it's easy. Occasional knife fight,
right?
Other than that, it's a piece of cake.
I don't know. You know, there's relatively new breweries that are already opening production facilities. You know, time will tell of how many states are they going to have to expand to go through what they can actually produce. You got to pay for those big shiny tanks somehow. So I don't know. I think it's definitely an uphill fight at this point. And again, just getting back into, and maybe Chicago has a little more glitter. Like if you're, you know, a couple states down south or something, like, oh, you got a beer from Chicago? Cool. Chicago's cool. I don't know. I don't know if it has any, you know, clout or.
I was I just have numbers because I think that this is the craziest thing to me, because I was looking at an old beer tour script. We started beer touring in 2011, and we had 27 nationwide. There are 2,700 breweries, and I'm not sure what the exact count in Chicago was, but I'm assuming it was, in terms of pre-production facilities, it had to be under 5, maybe under Goose. Was I think Metropolitan and Half Acre had opened at that point. Now I just revised the script, and it's 4,600 breweries since 2011 in the U.S. And I think there are some great sources online in terms of beer blogs in Chicago that have all the different Chicago production breweries that are open, all the breweries, brew pubs, everything else. And I think there is almost over 70 now. Now, that includes everything, but it's insane. I mean, it's crazy how much everything has grown in just a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, for sure it has, and it goes kind of back to that whole thing. It's not always about the love of beer. You know, investors are like, they see Goose selling for, you know, $30-some million. Like, oh, hey, so we can make a brewery and build it up, and we'll sell it, and we'll move to the, you know, Fiji or whatever.
How bad are they kicking themselves, $30-something million?
I don't know.
Bellas
went for $1 billion.
$1 billion. That's fucking Dr. Evil money.
That's Dr. Evil money.
$1 billion.
It's nuts, man. And I'll be honest, when that first happened with Goose, I was a hater. I was like, oh, you sellouts, this and that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Over a little time and thinking, like, you built a product. It is a business. Someone offered you a pile of cash, and you took it, and you're ready to retire anyway. We're talking about dad here. We're not talking about junior.
Right.
So, yeah, who wouldn't take $30 million?
Yeah. The Irish have a saying, fair balls. Fair balls means, you know, fair play. Like, you know,
sure.
Who can knock them for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely, no one should. And so, they're still kicking out great beer.
Right, right. Bringing this segment back to our original topic, this is the free-for-all, we've all had a few beers segment. Is the same holding true for beer bars? Is the beer bar market in Chicago oversaturated? You know, back in the day, Jay, there were like four of you, you know? It was the Map Room, the Hop Leaf, you had Quenchers. For those of us going way back, there was Puffers on the south side. Who else was there? I'm sure there were a couple more. Maybe not even, though.
I don't know when Sheffield's open, but
Sheffield's,
I always
throw
them
Sheffield's
in the mix.
I'm forgetting Sheffield's. That's but
Quenchers was the first, man. Quenchers was the first.
They, no question.
And they hold it down. And we get that all the time. It's like, we have beers from around the world, you know? Do you have something from... No, man. Go to Quenchers. They literally have every country in the world listed and what beer they have from them.
Right.
That's what they're doing. And now they're doing a lot more craft, but they still have all of those beers from around the world kind of ideas. And, man, much credit to them for sticking to their guns. Now, all the bars that got closed, we were kind of talking when we were off mic about all the bars that have been closed over the few years, last few, not few years, but during the Daley administration, whatever. And
Daley did not like bars.
Did not like bars. Thousands of bars, taverns specifically. If you don't have food, he's not a fan, and he's going to do whatever he can to get you out of
there. I
mean,
unless it's, you know, the Tavern Grill down in Millennium Park. He seemed to like them a lot. We won't get it. Those of you who know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. But let's not get into Chicago politics.
Oh, come on. It's so fun. It's so deep and so on the up and up.
Those of you listening can Google the Millennium Park Tavern, whatever it's called.
So now all these beer bars are popping up, and they're replacing some of these old taverns that used to be. You know, I'm a fan of a bar on every corner, you know, not all four of the corners, but,
right.
You know.
But I mean, it seems to me like they open every week now. I'm guilty of opening one a couple years ago. And a lot of them I haven't even been to, you know, because, well, I do have a job and a wife and three kids. But there's so many. When one would open up 5 years ago, it was a big deal. We'd all head over there and, you know, we're so happy that someone else was in on it, you know. Now it's like, oh, well, another beer bar. Who cares, right?
I'd be more excited if it was another good beer bar. If, you know, all the things we talked about at the beginning of this, someone actually cares.
I think some of them are.
Some of them are.
Yeah,
some of them aren't.
But some of them are.
And it doesn't take long to figure which ones.
It doesn't, no.
You know?
No. No. All right, well... We may have exhausted our.
Are there too many beer bars?
Are there too many beer bars?
Are there
that
going
the
to
question.
Be too many beer
I,
bars?
I am going to say, yes, there are, and, you know, I mean, as far as that being your concept, you know, and I think you know, Patty Long's is a perfect example of yes, we're a beer bar, but most people come in here and know us as a bacon bar, and that is really you know. What sets us apart. Kaiser Tiger, same thing. We have, you know, this giant beer garden. We do curling. We do bocce ball. We do a bunch of other stuff besides the beer. But if you want to open up, I think, as just beer being your concept, no one's really going to pay much attention.
Yep. I think you're right.
I think everyone should be a beer bar. I think everyone should, you know, take care in their beer.
Yeah, and I was going to echo that, where it's like, I think it's kind of what we talked about at the beginning. Now when you go, I remember going to 7-Eleven when I first moved to Chicago, and it was, you know, Miller Lite, Coors Light, you know, Budweiser, whatever, and there's maybe a tiny section of Sierra and maybe some Dogfish, that type of thing. But now you go into 7-Eleven, and you can find great local craft beer. Same thing's true now at the bar. It's almost a minimum requirement to at least try. but in my opinion, it's a good thing, right? But to go back to the beginning, you have to care about it. You have to focus on it. You need to care about your customers. You need to care about what you're serving them. And I'll tell you, like, when on our tours, you know, we do the walking tours, and some bars we love our bars that we go on. They can tell, like, what bars are the ones that care about beer the most. And that'll shine through from the second people enter the bars. And that's only going to become more important.
Absolutely. And, I mean, think about just the day manager at the 7-Eleven give a shit if the beer is in a 90-degree room in the back. He doesn't. Does the new guy that opened a beer bar? I hope so. I really hope so.
Well, let's take some time right now, Jay. Shameless plug time. What is going on at the Map Room? I don't know when this is going to come out, so don't make it something tomorrow. Like here at Patty Long's, where tomorrow night we have the owner of Surly coming by.
I'll tell you
what's going on at the Map Room.
I'll tell you about one upcoming event, which was awesome last year. We did it for the first time. I like to refer to it as Beers in the Dark, where we do a blind tasting. And we have 26 taps, so we covered all the taps in brown paper bags, so no one could see what we had. The chalkboards had nothing on them. We had beer menus printed, which basically gave a short description of price and people ordered by number. And if you really wanted to get crazy, we literally would blindfold you and bring samples one at a time that you had to taste without being able to see the beer. And then we take the beer away, then you blindfold off and you write down your thing. The idea was to try to figure out what was the style, you know, where did it maybe come from, that kind of thing. And
what's the date of that?
Beers in the Dark was my name. I think we used something else.
No, wait,
I don't remember
when is
now.
It? What's the date again?
The date isn't set because
I keep
pushing it back. It is going to be sometime in September.
So those of you...
Sometime in September on a Sunday.
Follow the Map Room on Facebook. Maybe one day you'll find out when Beers in the Dark is happening.
Or maproom.com. We have an events page. Oh, there usually is anything on it.
How about draft science? How do people get their drafts properly cleaned by either you or Brandon? Are you even taking customers right now?
You know, we are pretty full up. We're trying to expand, and with that comes... basically, I'm terrified because... me and Bernard have built a reputation. We don't screw around, man. We do this shit right. And it takes time, and you don't get rich doing it. But it's important. I give a shit about beer. So as we try to hire somebody, they need to be on the same page with that. And clearly that's training, but you can train someone and find the person who really does give a shit.
So what you're saying is, if you are a draft enthusiast listening to this podcast...
My cell is 773-807-2361.
Oh, my gosh.
It's right there.
Out on the airwaves. There you go. Call Jay. He's looking for somebody. And be prepared to not make a lot of money and work your ass off, right?
That's pretty much the gist. But if you care about beer, you know, you'll be surrounded by it.
That's pretty much the beer business right there. Chris, what is going on with the beer tours?
You know, we're just rocking and rolling. We just opened up a new tour in the spring this year downtown. So Loop South Loop, we talk a lot of vice. So gambling, brothels, gangsters, not just the Capone era, but really back into the 1800s. You know, Chicago was like the Wild West not that long ago. So we kind of do that, but we visit some great spots, a lot of history there as well. But we come here to Patty Long's on our Lakeview Lincoln Park tour and go to some other spots as well. And then we have one over in your neck of the woods over in Bucktown and Wicker Park as well. So we'd love to have you. We think the best way to see a city is to drink your way through it.
Yeah, if you haven't done the beer tour, it is not only, you know, a drinking pub crawl, but you actually learn something. There's some really great knowledge that gets thrown around. I am going to plug an event at Kaiser Tiger with Boulevard. They are kind of re-entering the market, and they're bringing some sort of a Tank 7 mobile bar that we're going to drive right into the beer garden and, drink a bunch of Tank 7. And I believe there's also a band that evening. And it is on Thursday, August 25th. So hopefully this podcast comes out before then.
Oh, yeah. Stuart's on top of it. I would also like to thank Stuart. He is the man behind the board and makes all this happen, because if any of you know me, you know I don't know jack shit about computers or gadgets or anything. Hustle more. Yes. Let's get Stuart to talk about his company real quick.
I won't talk much about it, but I just wanted to thank everyone for coming aboard, and excited to keep this train going. Thanks, guys.
No problem. They're Hustle More, and if you've seen Patty Longs or Kaiser Tiger on Facebook or online anywhere, it is due to his efforts, and he is masterful at what he does. So we're signing off here. First episode of Beer Pinions in the can.
Peace.
God bless America.
Today.